T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, it is 8:32. It is Monday, June the 1st. It's time for our first Overtime of this month. And welcome back, Charlie Brennan.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Good morning, everybody.
I hope you had some good, peaceful time off, unplugged from the world at large, or maybe not.
Well, a little bit. Saturday, I watched one of the peaceful demonstrations in Clayton heading down to Forest Park Parkway. And yesterday, I did visit some of the damage in Ferguson.
All right. Well, we're going to definitely...
What a vacation, right?
Yeah. We're definitely going to be talking about that today on Overtime, and I'm sure you will in the show as well. Hi, Amy Markscores.
Hey, Debbie. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning, Gwen. Good morning.
Well, one thing we can certainly say, the weather was incredible over the weekend, so hopefully people got out to enjoy it. However, they chose to enjoy it, and I have to say one of the best things that happened this weekend was that the red and black brass band came down my street again, and
They serenaded you happy birthday.
They did. They sang happy birthday to me. Well, to a couple other people on the street who also said they had birthdays. But it's amazing. Like, nothing brings your neighbors out like this big brass band coming down your street. And I don't know. It was a weird weekend. It felt very apocalyptic this weekend. And that was just sort of a bright spot. So let's talk about what's been happening. Sunday capped off a pretty tumultuous weekend all across the country. There were protests, which generally were peaceful protests until some people start doing stupid things, even especially most at night, things get a little crazy. The state officials deployed thousands of National Guard soldiers, enacted some strict curfew, shut down mass transit systems. But even that didn't necessarily help. Protesters were hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails at police in Philadelphia, set fire near the White House, and lots of people hit with tear gas and pepper spray, including a lot of journalists who were being shot with rubber bullets. One camera person actually lost an eye, I believe, which is awful. And again, this is in cities all over the country. So any thoughts, Charlie, just to start? The protests during the day are peaceful. And again, the majority of protesters are peaceful. And then things seem to devolve.
Well, you were mentioning reporters and journalists, and Leland Vittert, who 20 years ago spent the summer at KMOX as an intern, he was attacked by, I guess, rioters on Friday night. And he was pummeled and pretty sore the next day. He went to work on Saturday, and then there were more problems, and he's going to join us later today. But yeah, it's real pandemonium. And you know, when you have 140 cities with sometimes peaceful protesting during the day, but then riots at night, I mean, it's a huge issue. And I would say that it would be a good idea to have a curfew for the city and the county. I don't know about St. Charles and Jefferson County, but I think overall you got to keep people inside. And, you know, don't forget, we're also living with coronavirus. So as far as I'm concerned, the curfew would serve two purposes.
Yes. Who is protesting right now? Well, that's what makes this so well, it's devastating, and it's hard to make sense of the chaos. I mean, you are seeing rioters and protesters from, and there's a difference, from all racial and socio-demographic backgrounds and constituencies. There are those who are peacefully protesting, who are protesting a deep sense of injustice and a desire for change. There are those who are mere criminal opportunists who are destroying property and looting. There are people who are just angry. I think they're there just because they're angry at their own lives. They're angry at all authority and government and power structures in general. But there are good citizens exercising constitutionally granted rights. And there are others who are acting badly, and they're acting as criminals and breaking laws. And the curfews, yes, I would guess would help with law enforcement, because, as you mentioned, it seems that things go south when it gets dark. I mean, evil is done in darkness, and those are not the peaceful protesters protesting injustice. Those just seem to be criminal opportunists.
Over the weekend, we didn't hear too much from the president. He, of course, got a lot of backlash when he said, tweeted, I think it was Thursday night or Friday, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, and then later said he did not mean, he meant that as a warning, not a threat. He did tweet again about protesters outside the White House unleashing whatever on them. But since then, largely quiet. I don't know if people told him that he should maybe not do that. But should the president address the nation, or is it better, Amy, if he doesn't?
Well, should he? Yes. I think the office calls for it. You need a leader. You need someone to be a peacemaker, to bring some assurance that things are going to be okay. But should it be Donald Trump? I mean, just being completely honest, because of how divisive he is, I mean, he's been tweeting today about Sleepy Joe and about the election, and it's all focused on him. And I don't know that he can tweet or say something without throwing ad hominem attacks. So is it better that this particular president doesn't? I'm not sure. It's a tough situation, but do you need a president to speak at this time? Yes. Yes, you do.
Well, I've seen a lot of people complain that he's not speaking, but let's be honest, people, there are those who will embrace whatever he says, and then there are those who will assuredly criticize anything he says. And it's almost as if, okay, what's the point? You have President Trump speak, and you have a certain number of people who are going to love him, and the others will hate him. And it's so predictable. So I don't know. I remember when he had that major address in early March regarding coronavirus, and he said, hey, we're going to stop all traffic, airline traffic to Europe, or at least to certain countries in Europe. And of course, that was roundly criticized, and he was xenophobic and all that. And then I think later people kind of realized that probably was a good idea given the circumstances. It's just, it becomes so knee-jerk. The president says, and the president's guilty of this himself. I mean, don't get me wrong. Amy's right about those tweets, and you know, it's hardly presidential. However, if the president speaks, he gets criticized. If he doesn't speak, he's criticized. So it's kind of no win.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get you traffic and weather together. And we'll talk more about what's been happening in the St. Louis region over the weekend. And, of course, coronavirus. Stay with us.
Get ready for another Cardinals Classic game, sponsored by Lux Galore International. Tonight, it's Game 5 of the 2019 National League Division Series between the Cards and Braves. Hear it here, Amron Pregame Show 615 on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, King of OX.
It's 8:43. This is Overtime Round 2. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Markscores. I don't know how many people thought about COVID-19 as they headed out. I did see people at protests across the nation with masks, but many without masks. I think for some who are intent on doing harm, the masks are a perfect disguise, because sunglasses and a mask, and no one can tell who you are when they catch you doing something stupid on video. But I do know other people who say, you know, I would like to go out and join a peaceful protest, but I just don't feel comfortable doing that right now. So what do you think, Charlie? Are we going to see a spike in COVID cases? Because there were, I mean, we made a big deal about the Lake of the Ozarks, but these protests across the country, there were thousands of people jam-packed together.
Right, in 140 cities. And, yeah, you're right. I think on Saturday, the vast majority of those marching around Clayton and then down Forest Park Parkway had masks on. And I was looking for it. So that's what I was trying to notice, and I saw the masks. But then I see, you know, photos in the Post-Dispatch and elsewhere, and I see a lot of looters and others without masks. Scott Gottlieb, former CDC director, was interviewed by Margaret Brennan yesterday on Face the Nation, and he said, it's a problem. And it's going to cause a spike in the African-American community.
Yeah, it does feel like the Ozarks conversation of a week ago may as well have been 10 years ago. It just feels like that conversation has completely faded away. And I remember that conversation as well because there were so many shootings in St. Louis over Memorial Day weekend. And we thought, man, will anybody a year from now be talking about the shootings? Will they be talking about the Ozarks instead? Little did we know, I think a year from now we won't be talking about the Ozarks. We'll be talking about the riots and the protests. Now, I just wonder if in 3 weeks from now, if there is not a spike in COVID cases, so we see people survive the Ozarks, and then we see the thousands of people gathering in cities across the country survive that, and there's not a huge spike. Does that have ramifications for either how we continue to open up the economy or how people just emotionally respond to COVID? Because COVID has not felt this insignificant. And it's not insignificant, but it hasn't emotionally felt this insignificant since it all started.
I'll tell you what. I was out there. I wasn't in the middle of it. But I could see where people are next to each other and they're spreading it. And that's exactly what we're told you're not supposed to do. Now, you're right. If in 3 or 4 weeks we don't see this spike, then maybe that will really change public policy. I did speak to a nurse over the weekend who is at MoBAP, and she's seen people recover from coronavirus. But what they don't tell you in the statistics in the paper is that they're recovering, in one case, 40-year-old guy, no comorbidities, no pre-existing conditions. He had stroke-like symptoms, so that the whole right side of his body is paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Now, he'll be, you know, among the stats as had coronavirus and recovered. But what they don't tell you in the small print or anywhere is that he doesn't use his right arm or his right leg anymore, at least at this point. So, you know, it's one thing to see the deaths from coronavirus, but there are other issues as well. And man, I don't think the rioters are taking it seriously. I really don't.
No, Charlie, you mentioned, right, the permanent damage that COVID has done. We've talked so much about ventilators, not really a shortage in ventilators, but we are seeing in some areas a shortage in dialysis machines. The coronavirus attacks your organs and it can leave permanent damage, whether it's in your lungs and you don't have the lung capacity that you used to, or you have to stay on dialysis for the rest of your life.
Well, one thing we can say about 2020 is the hits keep coming. Just when you think it can't get worse, here's 2020 saying, hold my beer.
No kidding.
Yeah, just 2019 seems so far away. When I was like at New Year's Eve thinking, please, 2020, just be better than 2019. Well, I guess that didn't work out. But we're going to keep a sunny face on because we have to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how some things are getting back to normal. So stick around for that.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
It's 8:52. It's round three of OT. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. And in the things are starting to get back to normal category, we hope, the GM plant in Wentzville goes today from one shift back to three as the auto giant ramps production back up following the shutdowns that have idled the plant since March the 20th. Before the workers can start their shifts again, though, for the first time, because they haven't been there in a while, they have to go through an orientation on new safety protocols. So workers at the GM plant must now wear face masks in the plant, be temperature screened before they enter work, maintain social distancing, among other things. Good news for the economy, Charlie. We've got GM opening back up full speed.
Oh, yeah. Anything that's open safely, where money's being exchanged, commerce is continuing, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And it, I mean, this good news feels so welcome right now because so much of what we've seen is suffering and destruction and pain. And I think anytime you see destruction, it hurts all of creation because we were meant to build up and to create and grow. And so I am excited for this.
Something else that we heard this morning is the St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station is going to be opening next week. And I guess it's a little different for places like the zoo, which is outdoors and is huge, so they can make sure that people spread out. The aquarium's not that big, so they're going to do timed tickets as well. So that's good news, too. But I wonder how many people are going to feel comfortable doing things like that, because I see it from both sides of the spectrum where people are ready to do anything. You know, it's open, I'll go. And then I hear a lot of people say, I just don't feel comfortable going into a restaurant. I don't feel comfortable yet going into anything. Where do you fall, Amy?
It's weird. It's going to take a little bit of time to like emotionally open back up. And as you mentioned, I have a friend who's going out to dinner. Every restaurant that's open, he will go to because he wants to support it. I'm not there yet. Quick anecdote, I was running with a friend on some trails. It was pretty muddy. We haven't touched, we haven't hugged, we stay socially distanced, and she slipped on an embankment and was like falling towards the river. And without even thinking, I grabbed her hand and pulled her up the embankment, and then we separated and we looked at each other and we're like, oh my gosh, we touched! And my mom's like, well, you couldn't let her fall into the river and just say, sorry, COVID!
It is weird, though, isn't it?
It was so weird. It was emotionally weird, and at the same time, it felt the most natural thing ever.
You know, I'm not too concerned about you, Amy. You're in great shape, and you're under 40, and, you know, people your age just aren't getting it. But I think, Debbie, when it comes to public spaces, might be a good year for people who are certainly north of 65, 70 to stay indoors and to stay away from other people. I shouldn't say indoors because you can be on your property, but you have to be really smart and you got to try and be safe about this. And that's true for everybody at work, at home, but there are certain groups that are much more prone to coronavirus. We've gone through this, you know, people with hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. Those people really have to watch it.
Yeah, I'm trying to plan a trip to visit my mommy. I haven't seen my mom for 6 months, and I miss her. So hopefully I will see her soon.
Yeah.
We have Charlie Brennan and Amy Marscores up after news at the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.